Okay, today Be'ez Hashem, we're continuing in the very last parak of Masechet Be'ez Basra, and today we are up to Parak Yud Mishnah Gimel. Kosin get le'yashav b'shein ishto imo. We write a get for a man, even if his wife is not there. And you can write the get and have the witnesses sign in and everything, and then he'll take it and he'll give it to his wife. The wife doesn't need to be there. V'ashov le'yashav b'shein b'ayle ima. And you'll write a receipt for a woman that says that she got her ksuba paid, and so she can give that to the husband as proof that he had paid the ksuba, even though the husband's not there, because the woman is the one that stands to lose from the shover. But that's only if you know both parties, meaning a husband can have a get written in advance if the sofer and the edim know him and they know his wife, because otherwise you have to worry that maybe he's having a written to give to another woman who's not his wife, and she's going to claim that her husband divorced her when her husband in fact did not divorce her. And the same when it comes to a shover, we're afraid that she might be having a written to give to another guy so that he could claim that he already paid off his wife's ksuba when he didn't. The husband is one that pays the sofer for the cost of writing both the get and the shovar. You can write a document for a borrower even though the lender is not there, because again it's mechayev the borrower. But you cannot write a loan document for a malva unless the lov is there. The guy borrowing the money is one that has to pay the sofer. You can write a star that says that someone is selling something for the seller, even though the lokech is not there. But you can't write it for the lokech unless the mocher is there. And the lokech is the one that has to pay for the cost of the sofer. Mishnah Dalet. You're not allowed to write a shtar erusin or a shtar nisuin unless both the chasen and the kala agree. A shtar erusin is whatever monetary agreements they make between the two families. It's what we would call a tanayim, and the shtar nisuin is the ksuba. So it's the two documents that we have at the chasen's dish, because each one talks about various monetary commitments. One is the commitments between the two families of who's paying for what, and the other is the commitment between the husband and the wife. It's the chasen that pays for the sofer who's writing these documents. You don't write sharecropping or kablanos, which is another type of farmer arrangement, unless both the guy who owns the property and the person who's working in it agree to the writing. And the one who's going to be working the field is the one that pays for the shtar. We don't write shtari birurin, which is a shtar that when you have to go to a Beis Din and each one wants to pick which dayan they're going to use, and the two dayanim pick a third dayan, so it goes through who the names of the dayanim are, and therefore it's a final commitment to their choice of a dayan. So you can only write that and any other ma'isa Beis Din if both parties agree. Ushneim nosen sachar. And when it comes to a Beis Din, they both have to equally foot the bill. Rameshim gomliya lomer shneim kosin shneim Shneim kosvin, shneim lezeh laatzmo, lezeh liatzmo. That the shneim kosvin shneim, that the two bali din write two shtaros, one for himself and the other one for himself. Meaning each guy can say that he doesn't want the other guy to have all of his claims and arguments available, so that he could review them and chazer them and study them and figure out what his strategy is going to be in court, so each one gets a copy. So when it comes to these kinds of things, there's a Rav Shechter has been makbid recently that when you sign a tanoim at the chasen's tish, that he wants two copies of the tanoim, one for the chasen side of the family, one for the kala side of the family, because each one should have a copy of the monetary commitments that go in both directions. Nowadays our tanoim doesn't really say anything. There are no monetary commitments in the tanoim, so you don't really have to have a tanoim at all. But if you're going to have one, especially if it has one of those monetary commitments, it's really more proper that each side gets a tanaim. So let's review what we learned today. In Mishnah Gimel, we had said that you write a get for a husband, even if his wife is not there, and a receipt for the woman, even though the husband is not there. But the Beis Din has to know that these are in fact the parties that are being identified at the shtar. And you, in general, the rule is you write a shtar for the person who stands to lose from that shtar, even though the person who stands to win from that shtar is not going to be there. And the one who is benefiting from having this arrangement is the one that has to foot the bill for the writing of the shtar, whether it be a loan, whether it be a lokech and a mocher, etc. And then in Mishnah Dalet we said that shtari erisin and nisuin, you need approval of both chasen and kala, but the chasen pays for it. And the shtari arisus v'kablanus, you need approval of both the landowner and the farmer, but the farmer pays for it. And we said shtari birurin and any other ma'aseh beizin, you need approval of both of them, and they both pay for it. And Rav Shmuel Leo says you make two copies, and each one gets to keep a copy for themselves. Next time we'll pick up with Parak Yud, Mishnah Hey.